How's everybody doing today? Amen, amen. Glory to God. I receive, sir. All right, let's pray and get started. Father, we just thank you. Am I on? Can you hear? Can you? Okay, praise God. Father, we just thank you that this is the day that you have made. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we just thank you right now, Lord God. We thank you for your presence, for your Shekinah glory. And we thank you right now. We yield to your presence, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that if your presence and if your spirit don't show up, Lord God, you know I'd fall flat on my face, Lord God. My total dependency is upon you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God, that this hour, this night, I just walk as a barefooted priest, Lord God, only going where you want me to go, only stepping in areas you want me to step in, Lord God, and that I am sensitive to your spirit, Lord God, and to the leading of your voice. I give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing by your spirit. Amen. Praise God. You know, whenever I'm waiting on the class, I'm standing right out here in the balcony, and I'm looking over the balcony, I'm always just humbled about what God has done here at Word of Life Christian Center, you know, Ever-Increasing Word Ministries. It's a humbling experience, you know, and you even get butterflies in your stomach because, you know, you know, I remember the small beginnings. You know, and it's humbling because, you know, to be a part of what God is doing and to be right in the middle of it, you know, it's not only it's an honor, but also it's you just recognize your smallness, but God's bigness. But at the same time, as you hook up with God, you know, all that you need is there at your disposal for you. You know, God is backing you. Because you not only do you have a covering, but you're under a mantle. And that's so important, you know, in the area of honor, you know, having a proper covering, being under a mantle, and flowing in that in your position and what God's called you to do. What we're going to do, we're going to continue to talk a little bit more about the subject of pride, or as I stated, the word Leviathan. And I'm going to spell it again, L-E-V-I-A-N-T-H-A-N. And you should have seen it on your quiz papers, too. So you should be accustomed to at least seeing the word. But pride, or the spirit of Leviathan, is probably one of the biggest enemies against you walking in the spirit of honor. Because what it does, as I stated last week, pride is all I, it's all self. It's an individualism, or I can do all things myself. I don't need help. I'm an individualist. But humility says that, you know, of my own self, I really can't do anything. But in Christ, I can do all things through him that strengthened me. You know, you recognize your insufficiencies, but as Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. You know, he says, as I stated last week, he says, I count all things but done, you know, that I might win, gain Christ. You know, even though he was highly educated, he didn't consider his education or his teaching and training as a Pharisee. He counted it lost that he might win and gain Christ. You know, it doesn't matter, even though intellect and education does help. But when it comes to the things of the anointing, you want to walk humbly before God. To be used, you know, mightily by God has to be a great act of humility, of recognizing, Lord, I don't want to mess up. I want to serve you in pureness of heart. And not allow any pride or arrogance of my own ability or my own attributes or my training or my pedigree to get in the way. You know, my history or my family ties or anything. Because what that will do, it will hinder God's power, God's ability flowing through you, because the more self is involved, the less anointing is going to be involved. Because God and self ain't going, they don't go together. You know, what I mean by that is you trying to let you show up instead of let him show up, you know. But so if you want him to show up, within self, pride, arrogance, stubbornness must go. Amen. All right, let me get into the lesson. That was just kind of a precursor. But as I study this, I really see, you know, even in my own life, areas, Lord God, I need to really evaluate to make sure that I'm walking in total humility, where pride is not a part of my life, and that I'm flowing in you and in God the way I need to be. A person controlled or influenced by the spirit of pride or the spirit of Leviathan demonstrates three very clear characteristics. That first characteristic is stubbornness. They're stubborn. A stubborn person, having shown steadfast determination not to change one's attitude or one's position on something. I'm just pig-headed. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do my own thing. A person who operates in pride, they want to do what they want to do because that's what they want to do, you know. And you can't tell them nothing, you know. See, pride actually gets into the heart. You know, we talked about last week how Satan said, he said in his heart, I wanted to be like the Most High. I want to be like God. He stuck his chest out and said, you know, I want to be, you know, like God. And when that happens, the Bible says you're going to always be brought low. So stubbornness, like I said, is having or showing steadfast determination not to change one's attitude or position on something in spite of good argument or reason that you should change. Even though somebody, one thing about pride will blind you from the truth. When you got something set in your mind what you want to do and how you want to do it, even though the truth is presented to you, because you're walking in pride, you're blinded by the truth. Eve knew the truth. You know, she knew what God told her. But Satan, through the form of that serpent, deceived her and caused pride to rise up. When he said that, you know, you're going to be like gods, knowing all good and evil. It all of a sudden, yeah, I want that. You know, but God said, no, of all the trees you can eat of, but this tree, if you eat it, you will die. You know, and that's where we have to learn how to always hear God's voice and do only what you're told to do. And don't try to divert from anything outside of what instruction or godly instruction has told you to do. Another characteristic of pride is inflexibility, unwilling to change or to bend. A person who's inflexible, they don't bend. You know, certain things that have elasticity can bend. They're maneuverable. They're manageable. You know, they can change directions. And when the ministry or when the man of God says we're going in this direction, they bend in that direction and they move forward. But a person who's inflexible said, we've been doing this all this while. Why we want to change now? That's pride. That's pride. You know, when you want to do this because your grandparents did it, they established this work, or they did that, you know, why we want to change the name? Why we want to do certain things? That's pride. You know, and when pride shows up, it says here that is unyielding and is an unyielding and an unbending attitude. You know, pride will have an because it's selfish. Another characteristic of pride is hardness of heart, not being sensitive to God. When you have a hard heart, you're insensitive to God. You're insensitive to the move of the Holy Spirit. You don't want your heart to become hard, to become callous, to become cold, to become hard, to where when God is speaking, you can't hear. You see, because pride will cope. It's almost like, I'm trying to think of a cartoon. I can't think of the cartoon, but this person, their heart got hard and it turned into stone. And because of the heart being, you know, they couldn't love, they couldn't forgive, you know, because of the hardness that's in their heart. You know, pride will cause a hardness, of your heart, and you're not going to be flexible. You're not going to bend, and you can't be penetrated. And that's why anytime we recognize prideful attitudes or actions in our life, we need to kill it. Like I said, you don't swallow it. You don't put it aside. You kill it. You crucify it, because you don't want pride nowhere in your life, because it will blind you. It will cripple you. It will keep you out of the will of God, and it will keep God from doing what he wants to do in your life. Amen. Let's move on. None of these characteristics are these are characteristics of Leviathan. Like I said, that's stubbornness, flexibility, and hardness of heart. The Bible describes Leviathan as a serpent of the sea. I'm going to just read some scriptures. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1. This is the King James Version. It says, "In that day the Lord will serve The Lord will with his sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, that fleeting serpent, Leviathan, that twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that's in the sea." And a lot of this is symbolic, but what it's saying is that the Lord will slay Leviathan. It calls Leviathan a fleeting serpent, a twisted serpent, and it says he will slay the reptile that's in the sea. The Amplified Bible says that same verse, Isaiah 27 and 1. It says, "In that day the Lord will deliver Israel from her enemies and also from the rebel powers of evil and darkness. His sharp and unrelenting, great and strong sword will visit and punish Leviathan, and swiftly that swiftly fleeting serpent, Leviathan, the twisting and winding serpent, and he will slay the monster that's in the sea." What we read from this is that Leviathan, or pride, is a strong and arrogant and prideful spirit. Okay? Remember in the Old Testament, we talked about Moses and Pharaoh's musicians, how Pharaoh musician threw their rods down, it turned into snake, and Moses had Aaron throw his rod down, and it turned into a serpent. But the Lord serpent devoured the musicians, or Pharaoh's serpents. Given an illustration that the only way we can overcome pride is by God, is by turning that thing over to the Lord, in our own strength and our own ability. Pride is a monster that if we don't allow God to not only tame it but destroy it, it'll be like a cancer. It'll continue to grow. When you have to destroy it. It says the Hebrew word also describes Leviathan as a very large, like sea monster. Webster defines Leviathan as something that is very large and powerful, a monster of the sea, defeated by Yahweh, which is God, in various scriptural accounts. This indicates that we are dealing with a strong spirit, you know, a strong deceptive spirit. Okay, we're talking about pride. Pride and Leviathan is basically the same thing. In other words, this is a spirit described as a monster or demonic force that destroys families, it destroys relationships, businesses, and it divides churches. There is nothing that can stop him, the spirit of pride, except the power of the living God. God asks Job in Job chapter 41, 14 questions concerning the spirit of Leviathan. One of the questions he asked Job was, "Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or with his tongue, or with a cord that let it down?" In other words, like you let down a cord into the sea. "Can thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw with a thorn?" The Amplified Bible to that same verse, that's Job 41 and verse 1. An Amplified Bible says, "Can you draw out Leviathan, the crocodile, with a fish hook or press down his tongue with a cord? Can you pull a rope into his nose or pierce his jaw through with a hook or a spike? These verses are questions that God asked Job. They have to do with the man's inability to dominate this spirit of pride on his own ability. In other words, can you do it in your own strength? Humanity, or man in his own ability, cannot dominate this forceful spirit of pride in your own ability. The only way to defeat the spirit is with God's anointing and through walking in humility, recognizing we are powerless without Jesus. And I want to pause there. When you recognize your inability and recognize God's ability, and when you, the Bible says, yield, one of the strongest words to me is a yielding yourself to God. When you yield, even when you're driving in a car, you're giving that other driver the right of way. You're slowing down, stopping if need be, to let him go first. When you put God first in your life and give him the right of way and let him take the driver's seat, don't put him as your co-pilot. You step aside and say, Lord, I need you to drive my vehicle. I need you to lead me and to guide me in the way you want me to go. Now he's in control, and all you do, you just follow in his footsteps. So many times people in their lives or their endeavors to serve God, they have, and I shared a song last week about, inside my room. In this song, the author was talking about a person sitting inside their room, and they're thinking about their plans, their dreams, and their visions. He says, I'm but a child, and I have my plans and my dreams and my visions. Beyond the walls of my room, millions are slowly dying because they've never tasted the fruit of Canaan's land. He says, but Lord, how can I go? But yet, Lord, I don't feel like, I really want to stay and do my own thing. But then he concludes and says, but if you say go, I'll never ask to stay. In other words, I think about Jesus, and we talked about this last week in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, the Bible said he prayed where it was like sweat running down, it's like great drops of blood. And he said, Lord, if there's any other way to let this cup pass me, because it was the fact that Jesus was recognized that once he became sin, he would be separated from his Father. Separation. Can you imagine, say, a child being separated from their mother, the agony that child would go through? But see, Jesus was essentially one with God in eternity, in deity, in heaven. And he knew that separation was going to be so painful. But he knew that separation was needful so that he could pay the penalty of sin for all humanity. And so he concluded by saying, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's a solemn act of humility. When you say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. In every one of our lives, there's going to be a time where we're going to have to say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And we have to be careful that, sometimes if when you're set on something, you can even be praying, but you're praying for your will and not his will, and you'll even get scripture to back yourself up to support what you think that God is telling you to do. But one thing about it, you're going to always be led forth with peace. There's never going to be a time where, when you're seeking God's will, where there's going to be confusion or uneasiness. Always be led forth with peace. If you feel some scratching on the inside or some easiness, you need to step back and just wait upon God. The Bible says when you wait upon God, you're going to renew your strength. Don't step out too hastily on certain things, because a misstep can take you years away from the will of God for your life. Because in order to get back on track, you got to go back where you left off and pick up, you know, at that same spot. It's almost like I used to, there was a book I read years ago, and it talked about there's no elevator to the top. You got to take the steps, one step at a time. So if you're on the third floor and all of a sudden you're praying about skipping five floors to the 10th floor or something like that, you know, to the 8th floor or whatever, and then you recognize, I miss God. Well, you got to go back down to the third floor, and at the, each floor may be a year, 6 months, you know, because there's things that's preparing you to get to those levels, you know. There's a training, there's a boot camp, there's a refining that has to take place. And so God is trying to refine you, and there's no, you know, there's no, I'm not going to say there's no easy way, but there's no quick way. You know, we live in a society where everything's instant, quick, fast, and a hurry, you know. But with God, you know, there are things that we might desire to do for God, but if you're not ready, pride, arrogance, stubbornness, you know, the spirit of Leviathan can just totally get you off track. You know, like I said, when I'm standing out here waiting to come in class, I'm just humble because, you know, I remember when we would leave church and there would be sugarcane trucks in front of us and sugarcane be falling off the truck. And I remember one time my wife said she wanted some sugar cane. All we had to do was just pull on the side of the road, pick up a few canes of sugar cane and bring it home. You know, now there's subdivisions. Now, I mean, we have the church here. God is just, this area is prospering because of the word that has come here. And when I see what God is doing, it just humbled me, you know. And I thank God that I never let nothing deter me, you know, because God, and I've shared this, I'm getting off track again, but I remember when God spoke to my heart and told me, this is where you need to be, you know. And then the next Sunday, as I stated a couple of weeks ago, we came back to church, my wife and I, she's my witness. She's back there in the on the camera. We came, I didn't even speak to her about it. Throughout the week, we came back, and when Dr. Thompson gave the altar call, we marched up there, and we had already visited with him once before, had counseling with him, and he had invited us to come and sit down and just, you know, say, I'm not asking you to leave your church, but, you know, if you want, you know, if you just want to come and just glean from what we're doing, you're more than welcome. And pride got in the way in my heart. You know, I can say that because, you know, I just didn't feel like, you know, I didn't like nobody telling me what I needed to do and what I wasn't doing as a man. And so my wife had kind of wanted to come back, but I'm saying, I don't want to come back. But just what happened, that time it was around the holidays, and my heart was open. And so she said, let's go to Word of Life. So I said, okay, let's do that. And it startled me when I said it, because most times back then, this was back in like what, 85, 86, something like that, 86, I don't remember. But anyway, I said, okay, let's do it. So we went, and the Lord spoke to my heart because I was open. You know, and then the next day, the next Sunday, when we came to join, Apostle Thompson said, son, you should have been here. Pride tried to rise up again, take my wife by the hand and said, let's go. I know for a fact God just told me last week, this is where I need to be. And now, you know, the apostle is going to tell me I should have been there. But see, God had already spoke to his heart, probably when he saw me the first time, that you know, he's going to be with you, you know. But I had to humble myself and recognize that God wanted to do some things in my life, you know, and I couldn't allow pride to get into the way, because if I would have, I would have taken a misstep and no telling where I would be right now. I wouldn't be here, you know. And so that's just an example. I would share some of your examples, but I don't know them. You know, one of the things that I do every now and then, I just go off and just share examples and illustrations of what God has done in my life, you know, because pride will get you off the will of God. It'll get you off track, and you don't want to get off track. You want to stay right smack dab in the middle of God's will. And my Kindle didn't wink to sleep because I done wasted all this time. Let's move on. Let's see where we want to go now. I'm going to skip some of this and try to get down to where I need to be. All right, let's see. We talked about that. We talked about that. All right. And I stated, the last thing I stated in my notes was the only way to defeat the spirit, this spirit, is with God's anointing and by walking in humility and recognizing we are powerless without Jesus. Okay? And that's so very important. We are powerless without him. Humbleness and humility begins by recognizing our limitation and our dependency upon God. Arrogant people do not depend on God for survival, for they seek God's help to or seek God's help to achieve their goal. They rely on their own strength to obtain their heart's desire. In Job 41 and 3, it says, a person influenced by the spirit of Leviathan or pride does not consider prayer an important part of their spiritual life. That verse of scripture actually says, will you make any supplication unto thee? Will you speak soft words unto thee? In other words, will you, the word supplicate means to pray and intercede. But a person who operates in the spirit of pride don't think that prayer is important. Now, prayer is the foundation of any and every spiritual endeavor. Matter of fact, I remember reading a book. It said not to start any spiritual endeavor that you can't blanket with prayer, because prayer sets the foundation. But a person who walks in pride, they don't have time to pray because they're out doing their own thing. You know, because if you're really sincere and you really want to seek God's will, you would pray and get his guidance before you step out. But, you know, I'll never forget this one guy. I remember he used to say, tell me, I'm going to have me a ministry. You know, I'm going to have one way or the other, I'm going to have me a ministry. You know, I'll never forget that, you know. He said, you can come on board with me if you want, but I'm going to have me a ministry. You know, sad to say, he's not with us now. He's dead. You know, died at an early age, you know, but pride to do that to you. You know, you want to do your own thing. Yeah, God may have a plan for your life, but you got to walk with him and walk in humility and not arrogance and not pride, because it's a deceitful and a deceptive enemy. Let's see. The spirit of Leviathan, more commonly known as pride, is an obstacle of prayer. People who find it hard to pray are bound under the influence of pride. Arrogant people are unable to understand the need and the importance for prayer because they usually make their own way and make their own decisions. Humble people recognize their need to seek God and to pray because they realize it is impossible to live without him. In him, as you know, we live, we move, and we have our being, you know, and they rely upon his guidance. You know, when you walk in humility, you're going to walk in God's guidance. And you see, all of this falls under the umbrella of walking in the spirit of honor, because next week we're going to get more back into the spirit of honor. But when you're walking in pride, there's absolutely no way you can walk in honor, because honor, in honor there's submission. In honor there's you walking in humility, and in honor there's a team spirit. There's not individualism, there's not I, but it's, you know, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Honor will bring you to greatness. Pride will bring you, when you exalt yourself, you're going to be brought low. So it's so very important that we recognize that. But I'm really talking about prayer. Prideful people, if they do pray, they're praying that their will be done and not God's. You know, God, can you bless my plans? This is my plans, and I'm praying that you bless my plans. And say, Lord, what is your will for my life? You know, I think I might have shared years ago, my company sent me to our corporate headquarters to do a presentation. And I prayed, and God showed up, and I mean, the CEOs and all of the executives, everybody was just dumbfounded. I'm there, you know, young and really just excited, just glad to be there. And one of the sales managers came up to me. He looked at me. He said, "Son, have you ever done sales before?" I said, "No, sir, I've never sold anything." He said, "I could sure use you in my Kansas region." He said, "I think you would make a good sales representative for the company." And, you know, he gave me some information, told me to give him a call, and we'll set something up. I was all excited, man. I said, I finally got discovered. Somebody finally, you know, saw my self-worth. And so I'm walking back to my rental car with my props and all the stuff that I use for my presentation, and God spoke to my heart. He said, "Son, I didn't call you to Kansas." And so that, you know, all of a sudden now I gotta drop this pride, because pride started to rise up, because, you know, God told me several years ago, this is where you need to be, here in Darrell. Matter of fact, when my wife and I got married, we were staying with a friend of ours several weeks after we got married, just kind of waiting on God, seeing what God wanted us to do. And we prayed, and he said, "I think God want me to buy you guys two bags of groceries, fill your car with gas, and send you back to Alexandria." I looked at my wife. We had just been married, not a good month yet. And she looked at me. We just said, "That ain't it." And so we thanked him, and I think we stayed one more night, then we left. You know, because we knew God told us to come to Baton Rouge, you know, to here, to this area. And you know, she can attest to it. I mean, she's gotten job offers in other states, turned them down. You know, and the reason why I'm saying that is because it's so easy to walk out the will of God for other options. And I know people say that, you know, you go where you can find a job. Yeah, that got some truth to it. But you need to find the place or the anointing, the brook, the that God's called you to first. And once you find that place where God's called you to, well, then because God called you there, provision is going to be there waiting on you, you know. And that's where people have, that's why a lot of times people miss it. They'll let something else pull them away from the very thing that God is trying to bring them to. And even though at the time it may seem like it's, you know, "Lord, there's nothing going on here." You know, but one thing I've learned, you never want to despise small beginnings. You know, though your beginning may be small, your latter end going to grow. See, God is like an air traffic controller. He can see far, you know, he's got like an infinite radar. He can see, you know, years down the road. He knows the beginning from the end. But we can only see so far. So we're in our plane driving and flying around, And we think it's time to land. But the air traffic controller said, "No, I want you to circle," because he sees that storm coming. He sees that other plane that needs to land first, or that's flying at the same altitude. And he'll tell you to lower you know, go up 2,000 feet or go down 3,000 feet. We can't see nothing but clouds, you know. But God knows the future. He knows. He already mapped it out. And see, and that's why we have to be dependent upon him, because, you know, we can't see past our nose sometimes, you know, and we think we know it all, or we confident, you know. But I mean, there's times one time I was driving down the road with my family one Sunday evening years ago. We were going to Mississippi. I'm doing about 75 miles an hour on the interstate, and Holy Spirit told me to slow it down. So I'm slowing down. It's okay. So I mashed on the brake a little bit, slowed it down to about 65 or maybe, you know, maybe 60. All of a sudden, I had a blowout. But at that speed, I was able to control a car and safely pull it over to the side of the road, and we changed the flat. You know, if I would have stayed at 75 or 80, wherever I was at, I might not be here talking to you. You know, we need to, you know, be sensitive. See, humility will be sensitive, because I know I can't do it on my own. You know, my inabilities and my insufficiencies are ever before me. But when you think you got it all under control, you know, that's when you really need to, you know, examine yourself, because you're not letting God be in control. And I'm getting way off my where I want to be, but I guess it's pretty good. The spirit of Leviathan does not make covenant with anyone because it is an independent spirit. How am I on my time? 15 minutes, good, okay. The spirit of Leviathan does not make covenant with anyone, you know, because it is an independent spirit. Covenant is a pledge, a promise, a vow, an agreement between two or more parties to honor and to uphold the terms and the condition of the covenant. Because Leviathan is an individualistic spirit, it wants to stand on its own. And so in a covenant, it's a covenant is actually a blood agreement. A blood covenant is unto debt. When you cut covenant, I've been married for 34 years. You want to honor that covenant. And that's a unending covenant. When you make covenant with God or make covenant with your pastor or your man of God, that should be for life. You know, you don't dishonor. That's called a truce breaker or a covenant breaker. Well, a person who walks in pride, they break covenants. You can't depend on them. They're here one day and they're gone the next. Why? Because they don't understand covenant. See, covenant is designed to eliminate weaknesses. You know, where you weaken an area, the person you cut covenant with, they're strong in that area, and their strength, your weakness becomes, well, their strength becomes your strength in weakness because they got your back. You know, back during the days of Stanley and Livingston and explorers, they would cut covenant with Indian tribes, and so. When the chieftain would cut the covenant with, say, one of them, the explorers, he might give that chieftain, or the chieftain might give him his staff. And so now Stanley, he's going around the country, and so he encounters another tribe. And they want to cut their heads off, you know. But when they see that staff, they know that's so-and-so. You know, we better not mess with him because he got that from the head guy over on the other side of the mountain. And if something happened to him, well then I know him and all his tribe coming, and they're gonna wipe us out. So, you know, covenant, you know, you see, when you cut a covenant with God, you see, Satan don't see you. He sees Jesus. You know, because we're in covenant with him. You know, even though you might be 3'4", you know, when you start confessing the word because you're in covenant with God, he sees Jesus. Why? Because it's going to eliminate weaknesses. You know, your inability or insufficiency in the natural. You know, because when you're cutting a covenant with God, it's a supernatural thing. You know, and now all that he has is at our disposal. You know, and our sin and our insufficiencies, we cast that over on him, and he gives us, you know, prosperity, wealth, peace, victory, strength in our lives. Amen. But people who walk in pride, they don't keep covenant. Amen? Let me move on. I read all that. Often people choose divorce because they are influenced by the spirit of pride, which makes people unable to forgive or to humble themselves, and hence the reason why they prefer to dissolve a marital union rather than admit their mistakes, you know, and they just walk out of a relationship. Why? Because they can't keep a covenant because of pride, because they can't admit that they're wrong. They can't humble themselves and say, let's work it out. And now they want to go off and do something else. You know, you see a lot of that now, you know, people, and that's what pride does. Pride blinds people's eyes. It makes them unable to recognize and to walk in the covenant, our blood covenant, because of the blindness that it puts over their eyes. It makes them unable to receive accurate information, revelation, and impartation. All right, I got a few minutes left. I want to get to some other major areas I want to cover. Some people are unable to receive deliverance from the spirit of Leviathan because this kingdom is protected by shields. Now listen to what I'm about to say. In that person's life that the spirit of Leviathan hides under. Now one of the things that the spirit of Leviathan will do, and let me read the scripture. Job chapter 41 and verse 15 says, "His scales are his pride, shut up together as a closed seal." Now, when we're operating in the spirit of pride, a lot of times other spirits come on board to mask pride. So you really don't think it's pride, but, you know, selfishness, hatred, bitterness, fear, anxiety, all of those things. When you think about a fish scales, you know, they said that, you know, that Leviathan was a big serpent. But think about a fish and the scales that's on that fish. In order to get to the meat of that fish, you got to first go through those scales. And so when pride gets into your heart, other things begin to come on board to as a shield to mask the true reason why you're having problems or you in pride that you don't even know you're there. You know, I remember, I'm going to say this right quickly. I was thinking about this a few minutes ago. There was a situation that happened. We used to have what we call word cells, and we had people come and we would have a Bible study in-house. But there was this one particular individual who was having some problems, and you could kind of see it on their face. And so I asked, I said, "What's going on?" And I can see that, you know, that life and that vitality just wasn't there. And they wouldn't say anything, but God had already spoken to my heart what it was. And it was being masked by insecurity, by, you know, other things that were showing themselves physically. But the real reason was because they felt that a person that they had loved should have married them, but married somebody else. And so when this person got married, it affected them. And even more so when that person and the person they married had children, they thought that child should have been for them. You know, and it just masked it. But it all stemmed from pride. And how I'm doing on my time? 5 minutes, okay. It was a prideful thing that said, "I should have been in that spot." That's pride. But it had to be peeled away, you know. It other things was showing itself. I mean, that wasn't on display, if you understand what I'm saying. Other things, there were some reactions because of that, but the underlying thing or the root cause of it was pride, you know. So, you know, pride is the root of all sin. And so the underlying thing of pride will always be at the root of something. And so we want to make sure we get pride definitely at the root. Oftentimes, people will justify their pride. They constantly raise barriers which prevent them from exposing their real emotions to others. They do not want to give their heart to anyone. To make matters worse, people influenced by the spirit of Leviathan or pride are blinded and unaware of the fact that pride operates in their lives. The spirit of pride is eliminated by always walking in humility. When you walk in humility, you want to remember that, you're gonna eliminate the spirit of pride in your life. That's so very important. You want to walk in humility. Humbleness means to recognize our humanity, that we are mere humans outside of Christ. We can do nothing. But in Christ, we can do all things in Christ that strengthens us. Humility helps us to define who we are and without exalting ourselves above measure and lets us recognize our total dependency upon Christ. Humbleness is not a decision, but is a recognition of who we are, recognizing our value in God, making us truly humble. And there's one scripture I definitely want to get to. Before destruction, this is Proverbs 18 and 12. Proverbs 18 and 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but before honor is humility. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, but before honor is humility. So when you walk in humility, honor is right at the door. 4 minutes left? Okay, thank you. Praise God. I got a few more minutes. And I want to kind of talk about that a little bit because we're going to get more into honor next week. But it says in this scripture that, and before honor is humility. So as you walk humbly before God, you're going to be exalted. You're going to be, God will honor you because of you walking in humility. But one of the things I want to also point out is as you honor men and women of God and serve, you see, we didn't even get into this. People who walk in pride don't want to serve because they want to be the leader. A leader is one who you serve, but people who are in prideful spirits, they want to be the leader. They want to be in charge so others can serve them. But when you walk in humility, you walk in a spirit of a servant. Bible says Jesus humbled himself and became a servant, you know, and he stepped down even further and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. And therefore, God did what? He highly exalted him, you know. And so before honor, there's going to be humility. Jesus humbled himself. He is our perfect example of someone walking in absolute, total, complete humility by doing the will of God to the fullest. You know, when we do the will of God and whatever God's called you to do, whatever capacity that you're serving in your ministry, when you do it to the fullest and you humble yourself, you know, you're not doing it unto men. And that's the thing people got to understand. You're not doing it unto men. You are serving unto God. Even though you're serving a man physically, but you're doing it unto the Lord. God sees your heart. See, God don't look at the outward appearance, but he looks at the heart. And when you walk in complete and total humility, opposite of pride, and allow God to use you in those capacities, what's happening now is God sees your heart. And in due season, he says, you see, God is not going to forget your labor of love and your devotion and what you do for him. You know, God always repays and his payment is always a whole lot better. When you know, I mean, believe me, it's you can't. You know, I remember this old Baptist song we used to sing, you know, you can't beat God's giving no matter how hard you try. You know, but when you humble yourself, you know, God's going, you know, Bible says promotion comes from God. You know, promotion don't come from the east. It don't come from the west. Promotion comes from God. But it starts when you humble yourself and do what God's called you to do. And by doing that, you know, God now is able to bless you above measure how he wants to, because you're commanding those blessings to come upon you. Amen. All right, now next week we're going to go back into our books and we're going to look at some more attributes of honor. But I wanted to definitely take this side tour on pride so we know that it's probably one of the biggest enemies to keeping us from walking in the spirit of honor. So as we get into honor, we are not going to be, you know, have to deal with pride anymore. Amen. All right, you be blessed.